So I'm going to call our BCPL meeting on August 4th to order. The first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I will so move. Doug.
I'll second.
Great. It's been moved and seconded. Are there any comments, feedback, suggestions? See none. All those in favor of approving the minutes say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
The minutes are approved. Moving to the next item on the agenda, which is on page 6, we have
a lot of loans.
We do, Doug. Is there a motion to approve the loan?
I move.
And I will. Great. It's been moved and seconded. Rich, do you want to talk us through the 15 loans that we're looking at today?
Certainly. I'd like to point out a few of them. Number 11 is to the Town of Beloit to finance a sewer project. I have contacted them to see if they were going to apply for the DNR small loan program, which subsidizes the rate that we're able to offer down to the where the Clean Water Fund is. And then number 12 is Glendale, City of Glendale in Milwaukee County. They're actually using our funding to refinance some lease revenue bonds in regards to the Bayshore Mall, I believe, and they're doing that for the purposes of flexibility. You know, we're able to provide some flexible prepayment terms on the remaining amount of that debt.
That's one of the biggest loans I can remember.
It's a large loan, Doug. It is one of the larger ones we've done in the past year. Since I've been here about 10 years now, we've done a few loans in the $25 million range, and so, but this is certainly a large one.
The one thing I noticed, which I'm sure, is that our interest rate for the 5-year loans is very low, so they're getting a pretty good deal on the short term, while the longer terms go up to 4%. There's quite a disparity between short and long at the moment, apparently, which I hadn't paid attention to.
You know, that's absolutely right, Doug, and thanks for pointing that out. One thing that I would point out is that the 5-year Treasury rate yesterday hit an all-time low of about 20 basis points, so 0.2%, whereas we're at 2.5%. So our spread between our loan rate and the Treasury rate is at 2.3% is actually quite high. But we do have quite a spread between our shorter-term rates and the longer-term rates, and part of that is incentive. And in this rate environment, we would really prefer to have our loans out there a little shorter period of time, just because we don't really need to have a long-term rate at the lower rates that we are seeing today. We'd rather have them borrow for a shorter period of time.
Thank you.
Rich, I just noticed that there were 4 refinance loans. In talking with the communities about refinancing, was some of this triggered just because of their overall revenue situation and they're looking for a way to save and hence refinance?
You know, at certain periods of time throughout the years, there are times when it's advantageous for our borrowers to refinance through us. A lot of times, because we allow prepayment without penalty, a lot of times they'll just refinance through another institution and pay us off. But if they can qualify to refinance through us, then we can do it at a lower cost because we don't charge any fees. A lot of times when they come to us to refinance an existing loan, it's because they have another project on the books, because we put a hurdle in the situation where they have to take out to qualify to refinance an existing loan, they have to borrow additional funds from us equal to 25% of the amount that they're going to refinance. We do that primarily because we don't charge any fees and we want to maintain the revenue stream for our beneficiaries. And so in return for them receiving a lower rate on their existing loan, they take out a little more debt, assuming that they have another project ready to go, and we are able to maintain the cash flow to our beneficiaries.
But you don't know, I guess, if it was COVID related that kind of triggered the refinance.
I think it's project specific, and I don't think that any of these are COVID related.
Okay. Any other questions about the loan portfolio that we're approving today? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the 15 loans, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Sarah. The loans are approved. Thanks, Rich, for doing that. I know that it was a lot of work putting all those together.
No problem.
So moving on to some old business, Tom did mention last meeting that there was going to be a proposed submerged land lease that we were going to be looking at for the city of Sturgeon Bay. Tom, do you want to kind of give us an overview that starts on page 8 is exactly what this will entail?
You bet. One of the unusual duties of the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands is to act as the leasing agent for the state when it comes to leasing lake beds and river beds. Now, there's never been a determination in Wisconsin that these are trust lands. They are just considered what they call sovereign lands. They belong to the state, and any money that comes from the lease would go into the general fund. Our leasing authority is very limited. We can only lease for a limited period of time, for up to 50 years. To a limited group of entities, they have to be the upland or riparian owner next to the water. The lease has to be for limited purposes. We can only lease for harbor improvements, navigation improvements, or if the proposed lessee is a municipality, we can lease for recreation purposes related to navigation. And so it is a very, very small niche out there. And as the Secretary of State pointed out at the last meeting, Sturgeon Bay has had some internal disputes over this particular area for quite a while. And the community has come together and finally decided they want to develop this into an area that the public can access it and they can access the water. And in order for them to actually have control of that area, they need to lease it from the state of Wisconsin. Our leasing authority is also contingent upon the DNR making a regulatory finding that the proposed physical changes are consistent with the public's interest in the navigable waters. And so the DNR has made those findings, which are attached. And therefore, based upon the fact that the DNR has made those findings and the proposed uses are within our authority for that, staff is proposing that we, in fact, enter into a lease with the city of Sturgeon Bay. And I'm sure one of the first questions is going to be, well, why is the amount so low?
And yep.
And the short answer to that is because of the fact that, in essence, it's going to be open to the public. The city of Sturgeon Bay has already invested quite a bit of money in trying to clean up that area. And because of the fact that they are not using a state resource to generate revenue, but rather make it available to the public. For quite a while, the board has had a policy of not charging a fair market leasing rate, but rather charges a nominal rate to municipalities that provide open access to that area.
This is Doug. I don't really have I understand that. I won't complain about $200. But my question is, sort of, isn't this kind of a strange situation? I can remember over the years we've had different requests to lease the lake bed of Lake Michigan or lake or so forth. But in this case, they're asking to lease the lake bed, which has already been built upon, correct?
Yes. I'd love to tell you that
it's kind of trying to clean up the barn after the horses left the door open or something.
I would love to tell you that this is an unusual situation, but there's actually a number of these situations out there that the DNR encounters over the years. And that's when they end up coming to us to seek a submerged land lease, when actually they've already had, someone had filled it years ago and had been using it for a different purpose. So
that's interesting. I don't remember any of those. I remember several cases where somebody wanted to put in a marina or something and ask us to lease them the lakebed for that purpose, but I don't remember the ones that where the improvements had already been made. But my memory may not be serving me well. Thank you, Tom.
No problem.
The other question I have is involving this greenery. Where is the greenery right now that they're going to move to the site?
Oh, and so that was part of the dispute, is that the there's a historical society up there that actually had ownership of the greenery, and that greenery had been on that site for 100 years. And as there was a dispute over who owned what up there, that historical society actually took the greenery and moved it off-site roughly three-quarters of a mile away.
okay. Well,
because they were concerned that what was going to happen was that the granary could get knocked down and destroyed in the midst of some of the development plans. And so, but after, like I said, the community came together, they realized that, no, this is a historic monument in our downtown. We're going to put it back where it was.
Well, and I see that the granary is going to be converted into a usable space where people can have events inside the greenery. Have you seen the greenery? So it's pretty big?
You know, the footprint isn't that big, but it's really tall. I would put that greenery at somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 feet high, probably. So.
But the only usable space is on the ground floor, I presume.
I think they were looking at not only doing something on the ground floor, but doing something higher up as well.
Okay. So they're gonna move it back to the pier.
Yes.
They have three proposed lease rates. They have one that's free, one that's not so free, and one that is expensive. You notice that?
I did.
Very interesting. Okay, and any money from that goes into the improvement of the granary. Okay, very interesting situation. I look forward to getting up there sometime after the virus goes away and look at this. Again, I'll be quiet. Thank my fellow commissioners for indulging my questions here. And Tom, thank you.
My pleasure. Are there any further questions?
Tom, just, I guess, two things. One is, in your opening remarks, I think you said that the money, well, it's not going to set us over the top or anything, goes back to the general fund. So is that a BCPL return back to the general fund is how it's captured?
By statute, this money goes to the general fund. It is not something that BCPL, to the best of my knowledge, ever asked for. It is something that moved – the responsibility moved to BCPL from the Public Service Commission, I want to say roughly 35 years ago.
But we're like the pass-through for that money.
Yes, the money comes to BCPL and it goes to the general fund, yes.
Okay. And I would assume that's for all of our submerged lands then.
Yes. When I got here, the total amount of money coming in on these submerged land leases and going to the general fund, I don't believe it was, I think it was less than $2,000 a year. The total amount is now roughly $60,000 a year. So Over the years, we have effectively done our job as the leasing agent to make sure that if private entities were going to lease it for a legal purpose, but the public was going to be excluded from that area, we were going to charge a commercially reasonable rent for those. And in those cases where it was going to be similar to this, where the public was going to be able to access that area for free and to have access to the water, well, then we're going to charge a nominal rate. But when you add that all together, that number is now approaching $60,000 a year.
Mr. Doug, I presume there's no argument that that money should go into the school funds because it's not BCL land, but it's the submerged land, which we don't really have control of.
So in the state of Montana, there was a parents of a school child that actually sued the state that claimed that those sovereign lands were indeed common school lands because they were given to the state for no other purpose. And their Supreme Court agreed with that. And based upon that, it changed the way that the money flowed through those submerged land leases in the state of Montana. In Wisconsin, not only has there never been a lawsuit like that, I have never even heard rumblings of a lawsuit. So,
is there any way that we could institute such a lawsuit and get that money for the kids?
The board could file a lawsuit to that extent and draw parallels to the state of Montana, but it's
That sounds interesting, Mr. Attorney General. Does that sound too crazy to you for us to do that?
I have not looked at this issue, and if it's something that we wanted to explore, we could work out a process where we make a request to my office. Although I will say, given the amount of money at stake, having the state have a lawsuit over that amount of money seems problematic.
I see. Oh, your point is that it's not worth $60,000 a year to go through a lawsuit. I thought maybe the lawsuit would be so simple that no one really opposed it and it would just sort of whiz through. But you don't think so?
Well, I just haven't looked at the legal issue, and you know, another option would be that we could always reach out. I don't know how this would work, Tom, but potentially we could reach out to the legislature and encourage them to, if we wanted to. I mean, we could consider a legislative option, I guess, as an alternative.
I mean, my thought on this, and the reason why I brought it up and asking kind of about the funding was, really, we know in today's current financial environment, any money that BCPL provides to the general fund is a big deal because we are seeing unprecedented deficits. And so I more was trying to think about it in relation to our overall financial picture because all of us are facing 5 to 10% cuts. And how BCPL is already kind of contributing in that larger financial picture with helping address the shortfalls with the general purpose fund. So, I guess I worry about pursuing this from a legal perspective just based on the time and effort. To me, if anything, put it in the parking lot and maybe we revisit it after the financial crisis if it seems worth it.
Okay, well, I wasn't really pushing it. I just was bringing it up as a question of whether it was a doable idea. All right. Again, thank you, guys.
There is one other piece I'd like to add to it. The Attorney General brought up the cost-benefit of it, and I think that's what spurred on the issue in Montana, is because of the fact that there had been a hydropower plant that that had been licensed for years but had never paid any leasing for all the land that was submerged by the dam. And because the dollar amounts there were significant, and we're talking tens of millions of dollars, that's what spurred, I think, the litigation there and a partial settlement, I think, of that suit as well. So.
Thank you.
Tom, my only other question in addition to the money was with regards to the terms. I mean, is 50 years normal and kind of is that, like, how do you go about determining those terms?
So for 50, by statute, we can do it for up to 50 years. And for communities, if they're going to put an investment into that particular area, they'd like to control it for as long as possible. And so they're always going to ask for 50 years unless there's something that they're doing that is much more temporary in nature. And as the Secretary of State pointed out, this was already filled, and it's been filled for a long time. And so for all intents and purposes, the community would like to keep that area filled and improved into the foreseeable future, and the DNR is fine with that. That length of time. So.
Okay. Any other questions about the submerged land? So, seeing none, is there a motion to, I guess I read the proposed resolution, therefore be it resolved that the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands authorizes a submerged lands lease for a term of up to 50 years for the proposed lease area with the City of Surgeon Bay in accordance with Section 24.39 of the Wisconsin statutes, with a base rental rate of $200 per the year for the purposes of providing recreation opportunities relating to navigation and also for improving navigation on such other terms and conditions as the Executive Secretary determines to be reasonable and necessary. And the Executive Secretary is authorized and directed to execute any documents reasonably and necessary to complete such transaction. Is there a motion to approve that?
I will make the motion. I'd be very excited to finally bring some conclusion to this project.
I will second that, assuming that there is no discussion. All those in favor of approving the resolution as stated earlier, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
Wonderful. The motion is approved. One of, I guess, the many unique roles that we play as commissioners of the board of the BCPL. Moving down to old business, revisit and discuss the goals and priorities. So I mentioned this in my update last week, and what I mentioned in kind of that update is that I would like to revisit those explicitly after we have a staff offsite. So we are talking in a larger group and kind of assessing potential priorities, and I think at that time in August it would be beneficial to bring the board up to speed on kind of these priorities and goals. So that's kind of the brief update that I have. I think in the meantime, what might be helpful is in an upcoming board meeting is to include the BCPL goals and priorities that we discussed at the end of the year and the next board packet. So if we could add that, that would be helpful, and I'm happy to talk through that again with the commissioners, knowing that there might be updates moving forward. Any questions on that? Okay, seeing none, we're moving down to routine business. Rich, in your Chief Investment Officer's report.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm going to keep it short. I would just like to point out something on page 18 in regards to the privately held fixed income securities, BGSL. That is a fund that invests in debt issued to moderately sized corporations, and the investment committee approved a $30 million commitment to that several weeks ago. We actually closed on the first call of that of $22.2 million a few weeks ago at a price of $23.68. The current price on that's listed on here is a fluke just because they had not been able to update the current price yet. The current price actually has been updated now, and on the current sheet is at the 2368 level. And so we're showing, you know, I just wanted to point out that it's showing a loss, an immediate loss of $1.7 million. But that's a fluke, and that's a not really what happened. And so I just wanted to point that out. We should be receiving an annual yield on this investment in the 68% range.
Thanks, Rich. Any questions for the board on this? All right. See none. Moving on to Tom's report.
Well, like other agencies, BCPL is being asked to lapse a certain amount of its budget for fiscal year 21. And we've always been prudent with our budget authority, and we're actively working on finding potential areas of additional savings for the fiscal year. And we'll keep the board apprised as we move forward on those efforts. The fall has always been a time for BCPL staff to connect with our primary borrowing constituencies, since the Towns Association, the Counties Association, and the League of Municipalities all hold their annual conferences in early fall. This year there will be no such in-person conferences. So we're working on connecting with our borrowers electronically this year. We're participating in a Towns Association streaming workshop for municipal borrowers, and we're trying to develop other opportunities to reach out to those constituencies. As part of the communication outreach for the proposed land exchange with the Forest Service, I'll be making an informational presentation to the VOIT Task Force of the Great Lakes Fish and Wildlife Council on Thursday morning. I will make sure to pass along the commissioner's greetings to the tribal members, and I'm hopeful that this will be a good first step in developing better communication channels with the tribes. The submerged land lease that we brought to the board today will not be the last. A number of other potential leases are working their way through the process, so you should expect to see several more in the coming months. And finally, I'm working with DOJ on defining a legal pathway for selling conservation easements against our reserve mineral estate. All of you know that we have trust lands up north, but you probably don't realize that we have over 200,000 acres of severed mineral estate that we've reserved over the past century. However, to the best of my knowledge, since there hasn't been any mining on these lands, BCPL hasn't received any income from such mineral rights to date. So perhaps this is a way to earn some money from trust assets that haven't produced any revenue so far. And that's all I've got for today.
Tom, do you want to share with the board what we did on Friday?
On Friday, we interviewed four candidates for the BCPL Deputy Secretary, and we had determined that one of them was better than the other three, and we are in the process of checking references and making an offer. So hopefully at the next board meeting, we will be introducing a new member of the BCPL family here.
So which position was that?
For the deputy secretary?
Okay. Maybe I missed something, but did we decide that the board would not be involved at all in looking at the resumes of those people?
The board chair was actually part of the interview team.
Okay, board chair. So you handled our interest for us. Thank you.
I did, and I do want to chime in and say I thought that they were a great group of candidates, and I'm actually excited about the candidate that was selected, and hopefully they will accept. So I think it's going to be a great addition to the BCPL team. Tom, anything else on your update?
That's all I had for today.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to chime in about the deputy piece. Looking forward to filling that position to be the new Tom in that way. But nothing more to share at this time. So any future agenda items?
None for me.
Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Doug.
I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjournment say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Sure, why not, Doug?
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. Well, thanks, commissioners. Thanks, Tom and Ritz, and everybody have a great rest of their week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody.
Okay, sounds good.